Well, howdy do, Twinkle Ears. I'm sure glad y'all joined me for this episode of Three Things. I'm so thrilled and gratified to see both regular and new listeners. Thank you so much for coming to join me. This week, I'll share some perhaps not so wise, but definitely super cool wordly phrases, a bit of a bell-end tale, and something about a favorite thing of mine and a fantabulous way to use it. Also, the huge segs. I hope you enjoy this week's three things. Shall we? Well, thing number one today is one of my favorite things, words. I love words. I love writing them, I love reading them, I love using them. In particular, I love using grandiloquent and naughty words. Modern cussing can be very inventive and super fun, but there's something special about cussing that's been lost in the babbling brook of passing time. Here are some bits of yummy wordnesses that have been lost, but might be worth a go in this modern world, if for nothing other than it might make someone smile. Have you ever needed a word to toss at, say a trashy type person, but didn't have just the right one? How about giving churl a go? It was a super duper insult in a time in Europe when there were distinctly upper and lower classes, or peasants. Guess in which class a churl belonged. Cozen is a word for a not so cool jerky type of scoundrel. A cozen is probably from the phrase to make a cousin of, as in one who pulls a scam of, oh hey, I'm your long lost family member, and we're family, and you should help me. And then they con your ass so hard. Here's one I simply adore, smell fungus. That's someone who just doesn't stop bitching and complaining. The kind of person who just has the worst things to say of a show or a place or a restaurant or whatever or wherever. They just want to gripe. Like a Karen. So, does that mean that a group of Karens are smell fungi? Here are a couple of words I like and actually use. Yeah, I call kids or brats whelps. Also naughty puppies, but mostly bratty kids. Adding consarnet to you whelps in my Texas accent is super powerful and means you're in trouble. If your kids are Texans anyway, in my experience. Another one I actually use in both languages is caca fuego, or shit fire. Did you know that Sir Francis Drake's ship was named the Cacafuego? The word used to be used to refer to someone bragging too much. I like to use it in conjunction with hell damn as well. As in, like, well, shit, fire, and hell damn. It's a Texan thing. So's bragging too much. Although, as we say in Texas, it ain't bragging if it's true. So... I suppose that when one really has a lot to get off of their chest, as in a ranty sort of way, they could always turn the air blue with profane language, or take a minute of airin' the lungs, or bitchin' a lot. I'm gonna finish this little wordy thing number one, with one more archaic yet still delicious word, from a translation in a 10th century Bible, which contains the sentence, don't sard another man's wife. So I reckon that sard equals fuck. That's awesome. I guess that now I'm finished with this thing number one, I'm a sard off. And now for the GWOD, grandiloquent word of the day. Today's GWOD starts with the letter H. That word is hadaheria. It is a noun. It is spelled H-A-D-E-H-A-R-I-A. It is pronounced hadaheria. It is from the Greek Hades, the god of the underworld, and the Italian aria, which is used to describe a musical composition in which a certain phrase is repeated often. And so we get heidaheria, or using the word hell overmuch. In a fabulously alliterative sentence, my haphazard heidaheria happens to live wholly in harmony with my habitual helenomania. How heavy. All those H's hazed up my screen. Thing number two for today just makes me so confused and untrusting of my fellow humans, some of them anyway. There's a cave down in Oz, one of my favorite places aside from wherever I am. This cave is called Cunalda Cave, and it is a sacred protective site to the Mirning people of Australia. The cave is home to early cave art drawn by Ice Age humans on the Nullarbor Plain, what a cool name is that, around 30,000 years ago, which are some of the earliest artistic signs of Aboriginal life in the region. Some complete and utter bell-ends have irreparably damaged the art on the walls of the cave. An archaeologist who specializes in ancient Aboriginal sites said that the surface of the cage, upon which this 30,000-year-old art is drawn, is very soft, making it impossible to remove the graffiti without ruining the art beneath. We're talking about a very significant site to the Mirning people, and utterly unique site in the country, and having within only a decade of being declared a National Heritage Site, being dug into under a completely useless steel gate by total assholes to do their dirty deed. The graffiti the vandals left read stupidly, "Don't look now, but this is a death cave." What's the fucking point? Why? Why do it? The government in South Australia has supposedly been working with the traditional owners over recent months to develop a comprehensive plan to keep the site safe, including the installation of security cameras with live monitoring, but not enough has actually been done to protect the site from interlopers and shit pieces that do stupids like destroy ancient things. The failure to build an effective gate or to make use of modern security services such as wildlife monitoring cameras that operate 24/7 has in many ways allowed this vandalism to occur. elders of the Murning people have opposed opening their sacred place as it breached the protocols that have protected Cunalda for so long. Since 2018, they've been asking for support to secure the site and to offer appropriate Murning signage, but that support has just not been happening so far. One Murning elder said that Cunalda is more than just a precious work of art. It runs deep in their blood and identity, and that they are all devastated, shocked, and hurt by the desecration of the site, and they are in mourning for their sacred place. Cunalda is like their ancestor, who left his spirit in the wall, of the story, of the song line. That's desperately messed up that someone would do that to it.
This poor man is suffering from painful bowel movements. He needs the letter-turning relief of new Vanawhite, the soothing new liquid with a second banana flavor. So, don't be sentenced to the consonant pain of cramped vowels. Reach for the bottle in the gold lamé gown, Vanawhite. It'll keep you letter perfect.
New from Sajak Laboratories.
And now for the TDIH, This Day in History. In the Georgian calendar, today, June 19th, is the 170th day of the year, 171st if it were a leap year, but it ain't. Which means that 195 days remain until the end of the year. It is also, as of the current hour, stardate 101061.91. Born on this day, June 19th, in Brooklyn, New York, but way back in 1897, was Mo Howard. Mo of the Three Stooges, you know him, we all know him. How many guffaws have I guffawed at that slapstick, goofy comedy? Many. Many. That's how many guffaws. Beautiful Coco, the Western Lowland gorilla who learned and used ASL, that's American Sign Language, died on this day in 2018, and she was just a couple of weeks shy of being 48 years old when she passed. Coco loved kittens. She named her first kitten All Ball. And ever since, I've struggled to not copy her and name a kitten All Ball, because that's cute. It's Juneteenth today. If you don't know what that means, you really should. In 1865, over two whole-ass entire years after the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves in Texas were finally and officially told that they were free. Two whole-ass years. That shit's messed up. Now, though, and at long last, as it should be, Juneteenth is a holiday. June 19th, 1963, Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Vladimirovna Tereshkova, from Russia, obviously, came back down to Earth after being the first woman in space, where her spacecraft, Vostok 6, circled the Earth 48 times over 71 hours. Valentina had had no special flight nor pilot training, but she did have experience as an accomplished amateur parachutist. So yeah, good enough to go into space, right? Oh, olden times. In 1999 on this day, novelist Stephen King was kerschmacked by a Dodge Caravan when the driver lost control. King was hurt pretty badly. Broken hip, lacerated scalp, collapsed lung, multiple fractures of his right leg that were so bad doctors considered amputating it. He says that every day since then has been a gift. I feel that. In 2017 on this day, the first complete genetic study of our feline friends was published. It revealed that cats were domesticated some 9,000 years ago and are descended from just one species, that being the African wildcat. And now from that sleek and gorgeous African wildcat, I have two piles of floof that are so soft I can't actually feel them when I pet them, except for their murdery mitten claws and teethy bites. Those I can definitely feel. On June 19th in 2018, Canada was the first major economy to legalize recreational use of cannabis. And the ball keeps on rolling, and soon, one hopes, it will be a point moot if I want to smoot. Yes, I just rhymed that. Because I can. I am having some fun with these mystery sounds, and I hope y'all, gentle listeners, are as well. I had some wonderful and some weird guesses on the last two sounds, though no one guessed correctly, so I'm going to do it again. So here's this week's mystery sound. I betcha I get some good guesses, and I betcha some people are going to be positive they're correct. And I hope someone is correct. That's at least half of the fun, after all. To guess the sound, or share one of your own, or comment on the show at all, it's easy peasy. Just email me, Jenna, your host, at threethingspod@gmail.com. That's the number three, the word thingspod@gmail.com. Or leave a comment on the current homepage of the show, threethings.podomatic.com. That's the number three, the word things.podomatic.com. If you'd like to help support the show and help grow the community, you can buy Jenna a cup of coffee at ko-fi.com/threethings. Number three, word things. I hope to hear from you.
Space that would you buy his
thing number three today is about hemp, but not hemp used for manufacture, as in last week's episode of Three Things. This time, it's about consuming hemp or cannabis to not only enhance nutrition, but also to enhance life quality in many ways, depending on what one wants of it. Hemp is a superfood, so it isn't surprising to find that sprouted hemp hearts and sprouted hemp seeds are one of the most nutrient-dense types of sprouted foods available. Compared to sprouted quinoa, sprouted hemp hearts have a higher concentration of omega-3 fatty acids and more protein. Beyond hemp sprouts, there are hemp seeds, which boast serious amounts of essential nutrients and are nutty and delicious. And then there are microgreens. That's a plant that's a little older than just sprouted, like the microgreen salads one pays magnificent amounts of money for in a restaurant or in a store. Even though, as mentioned in a previous episode, there are veritable tons of microgreens just outside your door. Add some hemp microgreens to some, I don't know, baby arugula and baby lettuces and bean sprouts, and toss in some dandelion leaves and fluff it up, and then top it with some lovely cannabis-infused oil or a dressing made with it. Talk about a satisfying meal. Of course, I'm a real omnivore, so I'm going to have that pot-infused micro-salad with a side of beef, please. You can also use microgreens as a garnish on pizza or flatbreads, or drizzled over soup, or shoved in the blender to make a smoothie, or on a taco or a sandwich instead of lettuce, as a base for a lovely pesto, in a frittata or an omelet or scramblies. Yeah, once one starts looking for places for microgreens of the hempy sort to fit, the places it'll go are wondrous and legion. Hey, here's how to whip up some feeling flavor nutrient-enhancing canna oil in just a jiffy. For this recipe, you can either use whole raw or decarboxylated flowers, or just some nice yummy raw or decarboxylated teeth. First, what are you going to use it for or on? For a lighter oil to be used for drizzling on soups and salads and things, use a good light oil. But if you plan on cooking with it, you need to choose an oil with a high smoke point. To get started, you'll need 8 ounces or a little over 236 milliliters of whichever oil you've chosen, and 2 grams of decarboxylated or raw kief, or 7 grams, that's like a quarter of an ounce, of raw cannabis flowers, although you can use decarboxylated flowers for a more psychoactive product. If you're going to decarb your kefir flour, just grind the flour and evenly spread it, or the kef, on a baking tray and put it in a 240 degree Fahrenheit or 115 degrees Celsius oven for 30 minutes, and only 30 minutes. You don't want to damage your terps, but you do want to activate the cannabinoids. Once this is done, here's what you do to make the oil. Set up a double boiler. If you've not got one, just fill a pot halfway with water and put a heat-safe bowl on top. The bottom of the bowl should not touch the boiling water in the pot, though. That'll get it too hot. Put the heat under your double boiler on low, or the top of your double boiler, whichever you're using, and let the water in the lower pot come to a simmer. Then just add your oil to the bowl and bring its temperature up to 170 degrees Fahrenheit, or about 77 degrees Celsius, then add your cannabis and give it a good stir. Steep and occasionally gently stir your cannabis concoction for 2 to 4 hours, keeping your temperature at the 170-ish range the whole time, and keep an eye on the water in the lower pot. It evaporates after all, it's that steamy thing going on. Once the couple or 4 hours has elapsed, with your careful attention to the temp and stirring, remove it from the heat and get ready to strain your oil. You can use a fine mesh strainer for your oil, which is fine, but for completely clear oil, you should use a cheesecloth and strain it a couple times. And that's it. Your lovely infusion is ready to use however you'd like to use it. To store your infused oil, it's best to use glass and make it airtight and put it in a safe, cool, and dark place, like where I like to take my nappy naps. I hope this little bit here inspires someone to use hemp in a way they've not before, because it's pretty, it's pretty healthful, it's pretty tasty, and it's pretty good with the whole buzz thing as well. I'ma end thing number three with that, and go grab me a quick buzzy. Well, that was some stuff and things, yeah? I hope you enjoyed the episode this week. And I appreciate the comments and emails I get. It's always nice, and I'd love more. It's easy to communicate. Just email me, Jenna, at threethingspod@gmail.com. Number three, wordthingspod@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the current homepage of the show, threethings.podomatic.com. Number three word things .podomatic.com. And you can help support the show and grow the community with a little old cuppa. You can do that at ko-fi.com/threethings. Again, number three word things. Also, follow, share, and subscribe. It's free, bruvs and bruvettes. It's the end of this show for the week, but never the end of my wish to spread positivity and whatever joy I can. So I try to do at least a little of that by reminding you all, my precious fellow life forms, that you deserve all the good. But you might do a little bad, and if you do, that's okay. Just go find yourself in a mirror, fess up to yourself, give yourself a grin, then forgive yourself and be happy. Oui. Good day, all of y'all.